The initiative was the ICAO initiative at the first place, because they believe that human trafficking touches upon the very human rights of any individual. That's why they got in touch with me and they suggested we work together on something. So the idea came out, you know, let's do some guidelines to assist civil aviation authorities and airlines in training their staff on how to identify victims of trafficking. The guidelines are very simple, very short, because the target group are not legal experts, but rather cabin crew. So they will give them an idea about what is trafficking, why does it happen, how does it happen, what are the different forms of trafficking, and then what are the general indicators they should be looking at, and what are the cabin-specific indicators they should monitor on board the flight in order to be able to identify a victim of trafficking.
And when do you expect these guidelines to be rolled out by, and is there any airline or any country that has already implemented similar guidelines?
It will be rolled out very soon. Some airlines have already started developing their own modules. And you know, the guidelines, they go to civil aviation authorities first, which is a regulatory body that decides over what type of training airlines should be providing for their staff. It has been already agreed that the guidelines will be part of the mandatory training. I have to say, we have only in the U.S., airlines already have started training their cabin crews and staff on victim identification. Canada is already developing a training module. And of course, they have adapted the training module according to the guidelines we have already worked on. By the way, the guidelines are not yet official. They are not yet launched, but they are in their final stages. On the 31st of January, we will be having a teleconference to put the final touches and ask the High Commissioner and the Director General of ICAO to write a foreword for them. So they will be implemented immediately after they become mandatory through civil aviation authorities.
What exactly are the procedures that the cabin crew members would take if they identify a victim?
I would say cabin crew and flight attendants mainly, they have developed strong observance skills. So when we fly, they look at us, they watch our movements. Sometimes they might approach a person. So they are so observant. If they see anything that is not right, they need to start thinking of the process. They start looking at the specific indicators. They monitor the behavioral attitudes of the person or the potential victim and the person accompanying that potential victim. So they need immediately to collect the information. And of course, the most important thing they need to stick to is to do no harm. They should not intervene to rescue a victim. They should not show other passengers that there is a situation there. They take the information. If they were in doubt, our advice in the guideline was, you might approach a colleague of yours, share the information and see what do they think about the situation. And finally, when they collect all the information, it should be reported to the pilot, who is the law enforcement authority on the plane, who in turn should report it to the ground staff and the ground police. And the role ends there. They are not a law enforcement agency on the ground, but rather the captain is on board the flight. So they leave it there. They report all the facts. They issue a report. They have their own internal procedures as cabin crew, where they have the protocols they follow in filling in different forms related to different acts that might take place on board a flight. So that's in general. The guidelines are more detailed in terms of the different steps, the issues they need to be looking at, specifically the specific indicators I've mentioned earlier.
And are these guidelines only for cabin crew members, or would it work also for the average person? Are there like signs that the average person could use to identify a potential victim of trafficking?
Yes, of course. Every individual, every person can contribute to identifying a victim of trafficking. The guidelines, they have general indicators and specific indicators. The specific indicators are indicators related to the cabin crew on board the flight. But the general indicators, they apply everywhere. So sometimes you go to a place, you see something that is not right. For example, we all know that forced marriage is a form of modern-day slavery and trafficking. So if you see an 80-year-old man going out with a 15 years old girl, then you suspect immediately that something is wrong and there is a case. And sometimes you have a responsibility as a good citizen to go and report to the relevant authorities. So, in other words, the guidelines can be used by other transport organizations because they are very specific to that industry. But they can, of course, be adapted and used in different scenarios and different constituencies.
Well, here in New York, the MTA, the New York Subway System, has launched If You See Something, Say Something campaign that was later implemented nationwide by the Department of Homeland Security. How similar are these guidelines to that campaign?
Yes, I guess it falls under the Blue Campaign because the Blue Campaign is an initiative that a lot of actors were involved in that, including the Department of Transport and the Department of Homeland Security. And it had several elements related to rail stations, airlines, different transport organizations. So, of course, it relates to it and the training. And by the way, the guidelines were a joint venture. They were developed by members of the safety group of ICAO, which are representatives of airlines and civil aviation authorities. We sat around the table, and I was providing the elements related to international law and trafficking and human rights, and they were contributing with the elements related to their own industry, the things that they are experts at. So a lot of the elements in the Blue Campaign are almost the same elements in our guidelines, because trafficking is trafficking everywhere, and combating it can be addressed by different constituencies, but with the same purpose.
Ms. Hadadin, what are the latest statistics in that regard?
When it comes to trafficking?
Trafficking in person, yes.
It's a very difficult question, by the way. Nobody can answer because of the clandestine nature of the crime. We don't have any credible figures about it. It's not measurable. But I would say, for me, I rely on two sources. The first one are the global estimates issued by International Labour Organization. We've just issued them in September 2017. They were launched at the UN in the presence of the Secretary General, the High Commissioner, the Director General of IOM, and other important principals. OHCHR took part in developing some of the global estimates, especially when it comes to forced marriage. So this is a source that talks about an estimate. And the most recent estimate is around 41 million people are trafficked around the world. So we are talking about a huge number of individuals that are being subjected to all forms of exploitation. The other source I would rely on is the global report issued by the UNODC every 2 years. Of course, it doesn't provide a number, but provides trends and percentages. So when we look at the most recent one issued in 2016, 52% of victims around the world are women. 20% are girls, and boys are 18, I guess, if I recall from the top of my head. So if you combine the estimates of ILO with UNODC trends and percentages, then you come up with an understanding how big the problem is. That's why the Secretary General, during the appraisal of the Global Plan of Action, stressed that trafficking should be a priority across all pillars of the UN.